You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to St. John's. Say hello to everybody. We might have to wave a little waves today. We're in the swing of summer. Our themes for today. Well, before I say that, make sure you take the time to sign our guest register. We'd like to have a record of your visit. Helps us to minister to you. Let's see, where am I at? Our theme for today. The bigger theme is meaningful ministry. There are several in a row that we're going to be talking about meaningful ministry. And we're going to see today how when you preach the law and the gospel, it isn't always well received. But God still gets his work done and makes sure that it happens. And we thank the Lord that he's the one who makes his word count. We begin our worship with our first hymn, hymn 656 in your hymnal. As surely as I live, God said. Hymn 656.
We invite you to the Sunday worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Tim Kuski will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Amos chapter 7, verses 10 through 15. The Lord sends preachers with authority. Join us now in singing hymn number 656 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, hymn 656.
Thank you.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. With you
and also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, you granted your prophets strength to resist the temptations of the devil and courage to proclaim repentance. Give us pure hearts and minds to follow your Son faithfully, even into suffering and death. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated for our psalm. I will be cantering the psalm for you. It is Psalm 78C. You'll need to find it in your psalters, the gray psalters. I'll sing the refrain first and the first four verses, but after I sing the refrain first, you will repeat it after me. Preachers go with the authority of the Lord, and Paul continues this theme in Titus chapter 1. The reason I left you in Crete was so that you would set in order the things that were left unfinished and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Such a man is to be blameless, the husband of but one wife, and to have believing children who are not open to a charge of wild living or disobedience. Indeed, an overseer, since he is God's steward, must be blameless, not arrogant, not quick-tempered, not a drunkard, not violent, not eager for dishonest gain. Instead, he must be hospitable, loving what is good, self-controlled, upright, devout, and disciplined. He must cling to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he will be able both to encourage people by the sound teaching and also to correct those who oppose him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise, and we will sing the gospel acclamation. Appreciate about the gospel lesson in Mark chapter 6 is it reminds us where the power really comes from. When you think about it, he sent out the 12, and that included a young man named Judas. And even though in the end he turned away, yet it was God's power that worked through him. And that's the way it always is. We read from Mark chapter 6. Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. He gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their money belts. They were to put on sandals, but not to wear two coats. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that area. Any place that will not receive you or listen to you as you leave there, shake off the dust that is under your feet as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They also drove out many demons. They anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. For the next hymn, "Send, O Lord, Your Holy Spirit."
Join us now in singing hymn number 898 from Christian Worship.
"Send, O Lord, Your Holy Spirit." Thank you.
I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Dear people of God who hear the voice of their shepherd. We live in an interesting world where the masses sometimes shout, truth to power, truth to power. How do you speak to those in charge? I suppose from a Christian point of view, we want to say that you need to have some respect, but when there is truth involved, God gives us very wide freedom to say, wait a second, this isn't the truth, and we need to have the whole unvarnished truth. How do you speak to the average Joe, the guy down the street? Well, sometimes you don't have to say the unvarnished truth to them, but you can be a little more subtle and take a little more time and let, well, especially in this case, the Word of God, you know, take its good old time. Here Amos is in the former situation, and he is speaking to those in charge, and he is speaking the unvarnished truth. It is clear prophecy, clear law, and also clear gospel. We see brightly shining a great glimmer of grace shining through the darkness of his words so that people would notice, so that the Israelites, the northern kingdom of Israel, would come back in repentance. The proper application, that's the word I'm looking for, of the law always brings resistance and anger. But it also can bring many people to hear the true preacher of righteousness. And Amos is no exception. Let's read our text for today from Amos chapter 7. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. This is just setting up the context. This is the northern kingdom. And Jeroboam had again set up worship in two towns in the northern areas, one at Bethel and one further north at Dan, so that the people of Israel wouldn't go to the place they were told by God to go to. They wouldn't go to Jerusalem to worship. And so right away, they aren't doing what God says. We continue. This is the message that Amaziah sent. Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to endure all of his words. This is what Amos says. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will certainly go into exile away from its own soil. Then Amaziah said to Amos, you seer, get out of here. Flee to the land of Judah. You may eat food and prophesy there, but you must never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the sanctuary of the king and the national temple. Then Amos responded to Amaziah, I'm not a prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet. Rather, I'm a sheep herder, and I take care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flocks, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people, Israel. The word of the Lord. Another part of the context we need to know about the northern kingdom is that they were at about the height of their powers. They had extended the borders of their kingdom as far as David had extended them. And they were feeling pretty calm and cool and collected. The great empires had not quite risen yet, but Assyria was on the horizon. In fact, within a generation it would rise and conquer so many. And God said to Amos, go up there, tell them they're off track. Tell them they need to get back on track. They need to come back in repentance. Well, you can be loud and you can preach, and 33% of the time people are not going to listen to you. Doesn't matter. 33% of people just simply aren't. But God says, go and do it. Earlier in his ministry, he had pointed out their disobedience. He had in the first six chapters. It was very eloquent. It was all poetry and very memorable for those folks. And I think he was making some inroads. I think that's the only reason that Amaziah was all upset, because people were listening to this guy and they were not going to worship the golden calf. They'd go down where they should, to Jerusalem. Amos was trying to be God's best mouthpiece. And as that, he was a spiritual surgeon, which had to say some tough things to those folks, but they didn't want to hear it. And how sad. But meaningful ministry isn't determined by how many you get. Meaningful ministry is speaking God's word, because God sends his preachers with authority. Authority of the law to break open hearts, to break hearts of stone. And the authority of the gospel to put into those hearts, hearts of flesh that love their Lord. Priest of Bethel, Amaziah. He had a great position. He was well respected in a rich country. And he had seminaries going, making out, you know, putting out preachers, prophets. And things were going well. And all of a sudden, here comes this Amos and kind of spoiled things. Amos wasn't, a professional prophet, we find out a little later. And Amaziah was saying, hey, get out of my business. This is my job. Go earn your bread somewhere else. This is what I'm supposed to be doing here. They're supposed to listen to me. And he was offended by God's judgment. We're good people up here, he would say. He didn't think they needed that strong law which God was giving to Amos to speak. But they had so corrupted the word that even their sacrifices were worth nothing to him. And although they were going through the motions, perhaps even used the name of the Lord, yet he made it clear this was not right or good what they were doing. Amaziah had a conniption fit. And what did he do? He writes to the king to get the king on his side. Doesn't seem that the king did anything against Amos, because he was pretty confident in where his country was. But boy, oh boy, it must have seemed to Amaziah that people weren't listening to him anymore. In spite of the opposition from officials in this rich, powerful northern kingdom, Amos was faithful to God. God's message may not always be accepted, but when that law strikes the heart and the gospel changes people to faith, it's amazing what can happen. I think Amos made some great progress. He wasn't some kind of crackpot. He wasn't some kind of egghead. He was an average Joe who ran a couple businesses down in Judah. He was a reasonable man, referring back to the punishments God promised in Exodus and Deuteronomy. He laid it out. This is exactly what you're doing, what God said would happen, that you'd be going through the motions, but you really don't have it in your heart. And it's something that we need to be aware of too. We can't think about how blessed we are and say, boy, we must be really good because look how much God has blessed us. No, that's not it at all. That's all out of his grace and his mercy. No, we need to look and see where our heart is. That's what we need to examine. Whether it's with our God or just with, oh boy, that's what I'm supposed to do on Sunday. And just going through the motions. Amos was making it clear, you aren't staying with the true God. And if you don't stay with the true God, God will punish sooner or later. He makes it very clear he's going to exile these people. And in a generation, exactly what Amos said did happen to the northern kingdom. But look how faithful Amos was. He stuck around. Chapter 7 is about the middle of his book, and that's about the middle of the time that he was there, it seems, in the northern kingdom. Coming up from the southern kingdom, he came and gave them fire and brimstone. He got in their business because God told him to do so. And think about that from a Christian point of view. Isn't that exactly what we're supposed to be doing? Caring and loving for the people God loves? Sometimes it means getting in their business, especially our fellow members, especially the ones who have vowed to stay faithful to the Lord themselves through their confirmation. And it's time to say sometimes, get your butt back to church. Get your butt back to the Lord. Come in repentance to Him. He forgives. That's the message, the simple message of Amos. It was the simple message of the disciples that Jesus sent them out with. It was John the Baptist's message. It was Jesus' message. Come in repentance. And he got, and every one of those got in the business of those folks with their preaching. God does not want anyone to be condemned, but to have the light of life. We are here to proclaim the love and grace of Christ Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. It's just sad that two people object to that on two grounds. One, they don't believe they're sinners. And two, they don't. And if they were sinners, they could make up for it. But that's why we have a Savior. That's why we have a Savior God who sent us preachers of repentance. Pray that what happened to the Northern Kingdom doesn't happen to you or to your country. Recognize God's voice and listen. The law prepares the hearts for grace, but the faithfulness of preaching the gospel is what really matters. And that's really the next part of our text. When we think about that last part where Amos responds to Amaziah, we need to remember a little bit of the background. Amaziah was really trying to insult Amos when he told him to go and preach at home. Get your bread there. He's trying to say to Amos that he isn't a trained prophet, a trained preacher, and so he must be just trying to take people's money and run, trying to be a fly-by-night kind of guy. And that's what Amos says when he admits who he is. He says, I am not a prophet, and I know it probably says, I was not a prophet on there. But the text really makes it clear. I am not a prophet like you have prophets, like the ones you trained in your schools. I wasn't trained to be a prophet at all. Nor was I a son of a prophet, a student of the prophets of that day, who would just speak the message that Amaziah told them to preach. No. He says, look, I'm a farmer guy. I'm a businessman. And I'm an average Joe that God called me out of my business to get into your business with the Word of God. And He doesn't ask for people who are of low quality. We noticed that in our epistle reading, didn't we? God has high standards for those who preach. And Amos fulfilled those without going to the seminary, as it were. And Amos fulfilled those by simply sticking to what God told him to do. I'm sure he knew his scriptures. You can tell by the way he wrote the lines in his book that he knew his Old Testament well, which is all that they had at that time. But he was compelled by God and by God's love to come and preach that message to God's people in the north, the northern kingdom. He had a part-time, short-term ministry, and yet it was just as much a ministry from our God and from His power and authority. The spirituality of His preaching, you'll notice, wasn't pointed out in the letter to the king. The letter to the king said nothing about the repentance that Amos was asking for throughout his message. And the grace that God was leaving the door open for this northern kingdom to relent from his upcoming punishment if they would turn around. That never got there. Amaziah didn't want them to know that. The responsibility of the king is to God, and this king didn't know that God, the true God anyway. The king just used the church for his own reasons, just like his predecessor, another guy named Jeroboam, that broke the kingdom up in the first place. He reset up these temples in those two places so that his people wouldn't turn away from his country. That's why he did it. He used the church for government purposes, for politics. That's what always happens when the church and the state get mixed. And the church also uses the government in a wrong way when those things use the wrong weapons. The church uses the government to do what the law and the gospel should do. What the preaching of the gospel ought to change hearts. With the power of law from the government, you can make people attend if you want them to, but it doesn't really change the hearts, does it? As we are in a voting year, I always call that time up until the voting day the silly season. In the end, it's just that one day that's important that we vote, and it is important that you vote. But how silly it is people keep trying to use religious things within the voting to turn people and twist people. I hope you have your understanding of what morality is in your own mind and what God's direction is in your own mind before you go into that voting booth. But I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you, but I'm not going to twist your arm to vote for the one I want to vote for. So Amos responds to Amaziah, and the first thing he says is, look. He's finally telling Amaziah, you got to listen to. He's calling his attention, just like we need that attention, to open up our ears, to get the wax out, and finally truly understand what God is saying. And as he denies being that prophet, as he denies being a prophet's son, this is what he says, but the Lord took me from tending the flocks, and the Lord said to me, go and prophesy to my people Israel. Why was Amos a prophet? Not because the government set up a false temple. He was a prophet because God went out and found him and called him and compelled him out of love to preach what needed to be preached. And like a surgeon, he had to do difficult things. Can you imagine? You know, if there were no, drugs that make you knocked out, and the surgeon had to work on you, that's the way it was back in this time. That's the way when Jerome kind of had that idea back then. He said, that's what a surgeon does. That even though the patient is screaming like crazy, and the surgeon seems like he is absolutely heartless, yet that's exactly what needs to be done. And that's what Amos did. He claims the authority of God to judge where their hearts are from God. And he prophesied, predicted the future of what would happen. What Amaziah said in the letter was what Amos had said in the first six chapters. That the king would die by the sword, and that the nation would go into exile, and in the next generation, that's exactly what happened under the people of Assyria. And I want you to think about the authority of God's word. When the other prophets of Amos's time said, it's Assyria that's going to come and get you, they all looked around and had to find out where Assyria was. It's kind of like me saying to you Americans, hey, Canada is going to come down and destroy America and put it under their thumb. I don't know. Do you think that's going to happen? They aren't big enough. They don't have enough population. They don't have a big enough army. right? Well, when they saw Assyria, that's what they saw, one teeny little town. But in a generation, it had grown into an empire. God made it happen. God used it as his instrument. And the empire of Assyria destroyed the northern kingdom because God said so. God claimed Amos as his preacher, and he supported him with the very word that he spoke. Think about how God has confirmed what he spoke for us. It's actually much more gospel-oriented. He told us he would send a Savior, and that Savior would go to the cross. And that happened a long time ago in history. Do you believe it? Do you need it? Then hear his word. He gave us hope and a future. He forgave us all our sins so that we could go home with him. And listen to God's love even through Amos. Although he had hard words to say, look what he said. Go prophesy to my people, Israel. God still claimed these rebellious children as his own. God still sent a strong messenger to them to wake them up. He gave Israel an opportunity to repent. He gave them a man who would not stop preaching what he was supposed to preach. And even though he had the chief priest of the northern kingdom against him, he obviously had an effect. Enough that Amaziah really went after him. And God was patient. Until there was no longer moving forward in hearts of faith, he kept on sending people to bring these people to repentance. But when that happened, when there was no more movement toward him, he brought his punishment. We need to know who our God is. Northern kingdom went to stubborn resistance and apostasy and clear unbelief, even though they were going through the right motions. But in the end, remember exactly that wonderful gospel message that is for you as well. God calls you my people. This is also God's authority. Hear his word. Listen to him. Recognize exactly what the preaching is basically about. A strong call to repentance. A strong call that it gives us the great confidence by God's grace to know that we are his people and he will receive us back in repentance. When we hear that law, apply it to yourself and remember the power of the gospel, because these are the authority that God gives to his preaching. Amen. Please rise. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen. We continue with the confession of our faith in the words of, I have the Nicene Creed on here. Is it the, I put the wrong one in, but we'll say this one. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Our offering will be at the door. We'll continue with the responsive prayer of the church, which will be on the screen. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for all your mercies, especially for the gift of your Son, through whom you have revealed your gracious will. We praise you for the Holy Spirit and his working through the means of grace. Strengthen and defend your church, that by your word and sacraments faith may grow and love toward all may increase.
Support all who spread the light of your truth throughout the world.
Keep our children in the grace of their baptisms. Enable their parents to train them in lives of faith.
Raise up Christians to serve you in the ministry of the word and in all godly walks of life.
Preserve our nation in justice and honor. Guide and bless all who make, administer, and judge our laws.
Give them wisdom that they may promote justice and hinder evil.
Let your blessing rest on planting and harvest, commerce and industry, medicine and science, the arts and culture. Protect all who travel and care for those whose work is difficult or dangerous.
Be with all who devote themselves to any useful task.
Comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Remember those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those for whom death draws near. Grant them your love and take them into your tender care. Hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. We remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served you, who now rest from their labors. Console those who are mourning or living with sadness.
Keep us
in the true faith and bring us at last to the joys of heaven. Grant us these things, Father, for the sake of Jesus, who died and rose again.
Amen.
Amen. We continue with our next hymn, hymn 896. Dear Lord, to your true servants give. Please rise as you are able. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart that, being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And in your name we also pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for our final hymn. Let children hear the mighty deeds.
Join us in singing hymn number 758 from Christian Worship. Let children hear the mighty deeds.
Let children.
Good evening once again. A couple of quick reminders, and I notice some of you are looking at our new banners over here. Been up for about 3-4 weeks now. They are a witness to our theme for our church and our direction. So keep on remembering those and make them part of your life. How do you share his joy? Hopefully you say to somebody, hey, my pastor will come over and talk to you, because we certainly will. And what was the other one that policeman said, Rach? What was it? Oh, I think he just basically said, don't be weird about it. Don't be weird about it. Just, talk about your faith. All right. congregational meeting coming up on Sunday, July 28th, immediately after the service. We have our Christian Education Sunday on August 18th. There'll be special music from Steve Batista and a really big send-up for the kids as they jump into school. That's a good month and a half away. But there's other things happening in between. Today, people are over at the fair. Go see if you can find where our desk is and encourage the people who chose to sit behind the desk for us and tease people as they went by. Plenty of opportunities.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 o'clock each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 3-year-old preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. The television program today was produced by Jed Strobel. This is Brent Bailey. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.